Fresh Perspective features young professionals in the scrap and recycling industry, offering insights from the next generation of industry leaders. Guests share their stories of what led them to the scrap industry and new ideas on industry trends. Tune in to hear stories from scrap processors, traders, operators, and others who are starting to lead in this space. Fresh Perspective is beginning an ongoing dialogue with the future executives of the industry.
Hi, my name is Megan Smalley, and I'm with Recycling Today magazine. Welcome to the Fresh Perspective podcast. I'm here today with Blake Brannon, who is president of Brannon Industrial Group, also known as BIG, which is based in Brenham, Texas. The company operates several divisions, including its premier metal buyers business, BBR Waste and Recycling, Stop and Go Potties, and Branded Graphics. It also operates some demolition business in the area. Blake's family started the business about 13 years ago, and he's been involved with it since then. So, Blake, tell me a little bit, how did you enter the recycling industry? Was this something you grew up in, or did your family start this later in life?
No, we did not. I did not grow up in the scrap industry. I grew up, and my dad was in the trucking business, did a lot of over-the-road trucking, and started it from brokerage business, and then built it up to a fairly large company. And then my mom was started as secretary at Compaq Computers and worked her way up to vice president, one of the VPs of the company. So, you know, when I was a kid, we talked about business all around the table at night, and that's what we did. I ended up going to college for entrepreneurship, and you know, I didn't know what I really wanted to do, but when I went off to play baseball after it, my dad had started a small trash company with one truck and about 25 roll-off boxes, and he was delivering that to his buddies, and we started taking metal out of the boxes and selling it. I think if you asked me 13 years and 6 months ago if I knew anything about the scrap business, and the answer was no. I didn't even know that it was an industry. So just really thankful that God led me to it. And it's been a great business, and really just love the industry and the daily challenges that are out there. It's always something new every day, and that keeps it fresh and fun, which I definitely need with my attention span that I've got. So it's been great. It's been a good fit.
That's so cool. Like, that's a unique story of how your family started it way later in life. Now, you said that you went to college, you were studying entrepreneurship and played baseball for a season of life. Could you tell us a little bit about that? Like, when you were studying entrepreneurship, playing baseball, did you think, I'll join my dad and his work later, or not quite?
Yeah, no, I went to college, in all honesty, I went to college to play baseball. I picked entrepreneurship because I saw my dad start business. I saw my mom had gone at that point, had left Compaq and had been hired away and was doing a lot of mergers and acquisitions for another, actually it was an e-recycling company, which is kind of unique. My first job was actually in the e-recycling business. I was selling hard drives and computer parts on eBay back in the day. So kind of a small world in the way that it worked. But baseball was a big deal. I mean, that's what I went to school for. And I didn't know what I was going to do after it. And it was baseball had kind of come to an end of my career, and it was time to look for something else. And I had about 15 hours left in college, and I convinced my parents to, instead of me going back and doing my entrepreneurial project, which is basically the business plan, that why wouldn't I just come and learn from them and help run and grow the small trash business that dad had started. So my dad said yes right away. He wanted me to get back. And my mom is definitely a tougher cookie, and had to convince her quite a bit to finally let me not finish the school and come back and do it. But I'm very thankful. I've learned a lot from them. They've been the greatest teachers I've ever had, and couldn't do it without them. Their guidance has been incredible through this entire process. And, you know, they've really let me make mistakes and gone out there. And, you know, I've always said I'm the kid that had to stick my finger in the light socket a couple times, but they've let me do it, and I'm just really thankful for that. But yeah.
So when your family started Brandon Industrial Group in 2010, tell me a little bit about the early years. And I think at that point it was just Premier Metals Buyers, correct?
The first name of the business that we had was Budget Roll-Off. So that's where the first business was. And it was a trash company, like I said, out with contractors. And we just started taking metal out of the boxes and delivering it to additional scrap yards around us, and just getting additional revenue and trying to figure some stuff out with that business. That business was very boring to me. It was X's and O's. You're sitting there kind of just waiting on the phone calls, and just wasn't that exciting to me. And then as scrap kind of developed, we had some unfortunate incidents with the guys that we were doing business with. And we decided that, hey, we're going to go into this business and do it the right way and treat people fairly and, you know, pay them on time. And, you know, it's actually a pretty simple business. But you just gotta do what you say and say what you do. So it's been a lot of fun. The early years of that business were pretty tough. I mean, we started, when I told my dad that I wanted to do this and get into the scrap business, he said, okay, well, let's do it. I said, okay, well, let me borrow some money. And he told me no. And I think, and honestly, going back, it was probably the best thing that he ever did, was to tell me no and not let me borrow money. We had to go to the farm. We have about 30, 35 acres that's out here in Brenham that we were on. And I cleaned up some metal and had about $15,000. And so we started with $15,000. So the early years were a grind. I'd put $15,000 in the bank, and I had a scrapyard in Houston that would open early for me and deliver the material, get paid, put it in the bank before the bank, you know, before we opened, and go back out and buy the next day with that same money, and just grinded through it. It was a lot of fun. I mean, I just married, me and my wife just got married in 2010. You know, at that time we didn't have any kids, so we were really just kind of living life and having fun together. She actually came and helped me quickly thereafter, help in the business and help me in the office. And she was really the admin back office as I was out doing a lot of stuff on the yard and running equipment and buying on the scale and making sure nobody had their foot on the scale when they were selling me copper and, you know, all the fun stuff. So, but yeah, it was definitely a grind when we first started, but, you know, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to meet all the people that came in. And I think my favorite thing about entrepreneurship is you get to learn something. So I've really enjoyed learning the business, and you're always learning. And if you're not learning, I think you're missing out on some stuff. So it's been, that's my favorite part of the business. You can learn something new every day in this business.
Definitely. Now, like, tell me, how did you guys learn how to operate the equipment? Did somebody teach you? Like you said, you were going out there, you were, you know, running the equipment, you know, working the scales, you know, what, who taught you how to do all those things?
Well, when my dad sold his company, the trucking company, that's when we bought the property in Brenham, and we moved up here, and it was a heavily wooded property, and he bought an old dresser bulldozer back in the day, and some tractor too, and stuff like that. And me and him went out and worked on the farm and knocked trees down and cleaned it up. And I was, you know, I was probably 11 years old. I can't remember how old I was when it was, but driving a bulldozer and knocking trees down. So I've always loved equipment. You know, ever since I was a kid, I mean, I was the kid when my dad had all these trucks, I was the kid that asked him to bring a semi truck to school for show and tell. So I've always loved equipment, loved the way that it worked, and it's been a lot of fun. But yeah, I was learning the materials. Honestly, I learned a lot of the business through the internet, through YouTube, watching a lot of videos, watching stuff that was there. Cause I mean, nobody will tell you there's not a school for this business. Nobody will tell you exactly what you got or what it is. And I was lucky enough to work with some guys and some friends that are, you know, close friends now that taught me a little bit of business. When I asked questions, they would tell me what was going on, what was the material, what to do with it. And just very thankful for them. You know, it's I guess they call it the school of hard knocks, but you're learning as you go, and it's a lot of fun.
Definitely. Now, Blake, tell me, What's the company culture like today at Brandon Industrial Group?
Culture is a big thing. I mean, I think that, you know, we hire character and train skill. There's a bigger purpose out there, really. I mean, we're here on Earth for a short period of time, and really it's about impact and what you leave. And, you know, God's given us this business and allowed us to go out there. And our goal is to go out and bless people, and bless our customers, bless our employees, and just anything around us. And I think that culture is, you know, we're always learning. That's number one. We're always thoughtful. We're thinking about the other people. We need to have empathy. We hire for that first. And if we can't find that, if they don't match the culture fit, and regardless of who they are or what they are, it's not a fit, because we've got a great team here and we're all rowing the boat the same way. I came from a team background with baseball. So I know that when you get a lot of people with the same focus and the same purpose in one group and head them the right direction, unbelievable things can happen. And then the hardest part for me is sometimes just for me to get out of the way, because I need to try. I feel like I need to help, but they can handle it. So, you know, I've kind of been able to back out of it a little bit and let them run with it. And it's just absolutely amazing to watch them maintain the culture and push it on and just create this unstoppable force. It feels like that people just want to be a part of. So it's beautiful to see. And it's probably the thing I'm most proud of is the culture of the business, because I feel like we embody, you know, the right things and the right way to treat people, as it's called, from how God wants us to live. So we're focused on that on a day-to-day basis.
Now, over the years, the company expanded beyond just roll-offs, Premier Metal Buyers. You added BVR Waste and Recycling, Stop and Go Potties, Branded Graphics. How were these businesses added into the mix over the years?
We started with a small roll-off company, and like I said, and then Premier Metal Buyers started, and that really was the one that took off. 2016, I had a business mentor of mine, guy that I really looked up to and still do, and he was in the trash business in a much larger way over in College Station, Texas, and he called me one day, and he calls me Bubba. He goes, "Hey, Bubba." He goes, "I either need to grow or I need to go." And I was thinking to myself, I was like, I have no idea what that means. And he said, "I want to buy your business." I'm like, okay, well, thinking to myself, I'm like, man, there's a lot of things I still want to do, and I'm really not ready to sell. And he said, and then he told me, he goes, "Well, the other thing is you could buy me." And I was like, okay, what does that sound like? So we talked on the phone, and I told him yes on the phone right then. And I was like, man, I think we can do this. And it took about a year and a half to get the deal done, but that's how we acquired. That was our first large acquisition. It was BVR Waste and Recycling and Stop and Go Potties. We'd been in that business for about 10 years, and I'd grown it to about 60, 70 employees. And ended up buying it in June, I think, of 2017. And, you know, basically our business and people and employee count doubled overnight. And that was there's a whole nother story to go with that. But it was definitely a lot to handle and a lot of things. And I think it's really important to, the biggest lesson learned is that you got to, when you're looking at these things, the cultures align. That was a lot of the difficulties that we had overcome. We got through it. It wasn't easy. So that's how those started. And then Branded Graphics actually started because of that. Kind of funny. We had Stop and Go Potties, and we were rebranding it, doing all this new fancy stuff and new logos. And you got, I don't know, it was probably 2,500 cans at the time. And they had four stickers on each, one on each side. And the first quote that we got was about $400,000 to do all the stickers. And I told them, there ain't no way. We're not rebranding. It's staying the way that it is. And so we sat down and we talked about it, me and my mom and dad. And we ended up finding a printing machine, a sticker machine, and bought it and did it for a quarter of the price. And got all the dumpsters and porta-cans stickered. And then after that was over, we had this printing machine there. We're like, well, what are we going to do with it? And, well, let's start printing stickers and start doing it for other people. So with that, Branded Graphics started, and my mom has since moved in and is running that day to day. So we do promotional gear, marketing services, stickers, high-end mailers and printers, just all kind of stuff. It's kind of branded and morphed into a lot of things, but it's been pretty neat. It started out of some need for some stickers for Stop and Go Potties.
That is super unique. I mean, you don't hear of many waste recycling companies that have their own marketing or, you know, branding company within. So that's a fun story there. And I do want to backtrack. You mentioned you had this mentor and he had you acquire his business. You know, could you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So, personally, we were growing Premier significantly. I mean, it had grown from, like I said, basically 3 employees to up to 60 within, 4 years, 5 years. And then as we bought BVR, it doubled to about 120, 130 employees. We had bought a business that was strong. It was a great business. He had done great stuff over there. But the way that he managed versus the way that I managed people was different. And not saying either one of them is wrong, but there's definitely a difference when you come in and your styles are different. So that created a lot of challenges for me. There's a lot of people that, we unfortunately had to, a lot of people end up leaving the business, and we backfilled with guys that kind of fit our culture a little bit more and went out there. My biggest thing is I want quality people in those positions that are making decisions and dive into the detail, find the information and make decisions and roll with it and find good people, trust them and put them in the right spot and go. And, his people were good, but it was just a different way of managed. And that was one of the most challenging parts of it. And for me, I also was spread way too thin personally over both businesses. I thought I could do everything. And, God humbled me in about 2020 as I kind of burned out, to say the least, and said, man, I wasn't having very much fun anymore trying to run both of them. And, I'm thankful that he's got a bigger plan and he's brought a lot of great people into our life and also humbled me to where I realize I can't do everything. I let the world creep in a little bit on that and realize that, you're not that good and ego can get in the way of some things. And I'm very thankful for that. Since then, we've got some unbelievable stuff. The team's grown tremendously, and I'm back to having a lot of fun every single day and watching the team grow, and there's so much more value and excitement watching the team succeed than anything that I have ever done. So it's been incredible. A lot of challenges, but, man, super thankful that it happened and the path that it went through, that so many lessons learned through it. It was pretty amazing.
Now, what are some things that you're working on at the company this year that excite you? And where do you see the company heading with these different business units in the near-term future?
Yeah, there's always, what's kind of funny is as people have kind of stepped up and done a lot more of the operations, it's given me more time to think, which is kind of scary and kind of dangerous also. So we're working on a lot of projects here right now. We've got a couple new little businesses that we're starting up that are value add with the materials that we have currently, that we've been buying. I mean, I've always wanted to manufacture something. So we're kind of diving into some of the manufacturing space, seeing if we can do some stuff there. And then also just diving in more into our current customers. Like, what else can we do? We've always just said, we want to be the guy that you call when there's an issue. We love being that. We love being creative and that's gotten us into a lot of different things. I mean, we ended up, demoing some offshore rigs this year. And that was because a customer of ours that we know and trusted us needed help. And we're like, sure, let's do it. So we got together and went down there and did that deal. And everybody was happy. It was a great deal. And there's hopefully more of that to come. But It all comes from just trying to listen to customers, what do they need, and then figuring out if it's something we can do. And if not, you know, we make sure we pass them to the right people that can handle it. We don't have to be a part of everything. We just want to make sure they get what they need.
And also this year, what would you say are some of the biggest challenges you see impacting the scrap side of the business? How is Premier Metal Buyers navigating some challenges?
I think the biggest challenge is the volatility that we're seeing in this business. I mean, we're walking into the May market here, and it sounds like it's going to be a little bit choppy again. The swings are just incredible. I mean, I remember when we were excited about $10 and $20 moves, and now it's like 50, 60, 80, you know, 120. I mean, those moves are just crazy to keep up with a business that is long on inventory. We're always going to be long on inventory regardless. We're never going to be without it. The machine doesn't operate well when there's nothing in front of it. So that's difficult. I think that the number one goal is for us, is as you hear most people talk about, is to try to minimize inventory as much as possible and ship it to the ground as much as we can to mitigate some of those market risks, because really that's the biggest risk that we have in the business other than equipment. I mean, one of the biggest challenges other than markets jumping up and down is equipment availability, parts, and just inflation in general. I mean, you can look at a material handler and they've gone up by $100,000, $150,000. And, you know, there's contracts that people are locked into. They're still factoring on equipment that was, you know, 25% less at times. So all of those pricing changes we'll flesh out over the next couple of years, but navigating those is really the biggest thing. Inflation and really this volatility that's created across the industry.
Got it. And, you know, the inflation and the equipment issues, is that something that you also see on the waste and recycling side with BVR and that business unit? How are you working through some challenges on that side of your business?
Yeah, I mean, it's the exact same. I mean, it's hard to get trucks. A garbage truck, a side load garbage truck's gone up, you know, $150,000, you know, a truck probably on a minimum. And they're also hard to get. I mean, I just had Peterbilt tell me that they're sold out through the end of 2024 and they're starting to book 2025. So, you know, they're not as available as out there. It's having to change the asset life that you're looking at and the way that you look at assets. Or R&M and things along those lines. I mean, it's always been important, but man, now it's really become a extreme high priority to make sure these assets have extended life. And, you know, the biggest inflation is the biggest hurt on the waste and recycling side. And you're dealing with trash and it costs a lot of labor to do it. And that's risen. And so it's diesel and you got a lot of trucks. So it's come back down some, but still it's gone up quite a bit and those spikes hurt. And that with expensive equipment, those are very difficult to navigate on that side of the business at times. But customers understand it. They're realistic. And as long as you can have some real conversations, I think people understand, because they're feeling the exact same thing regardless of what industry they're in. Everybody's been affected in this inflation environment.
So, yeah, along the lines of equipment and thinking about that, what are some new technologies that you hope to see the industry embrace more? You know, is there anything that might help the longevity of equipment?
No, I don't think it's new technologies that I really think that the recycling industry needs. But I think it's actually more focused on the equipment business. I think that they need to be more open to training and helping companies be able to fix their own equipment. I know we've been heavily reliant on dealers and their locations, and you know it's really caused a lot of issues. And I think they've been, you know, it's been a huge impact and a big issue, especially when supply chains have gotten short and issues there. So I think that just more willingness in working with that stuff and the ability for us to get into the equipment and actually see what's going on to where we can get it back up and going. You know, this equipment's really expensive. It's expensive stuff. So having a couple extra cranes or a couple extra trucks, you know, now we're talking millions of dollars as backups, and just the ability to get into it and try to fix it quicker. And, you know, a lot of this emission stuff that's in there has caused a lot of issues with equipment. And being able to get in there and diagnose it quickly and get it back up to where we have better uptime on the equipment is huge. And I know that's it's not a new technology, really. I guess it's just allowing us to tap into the technology that's in the equipment to where we can create more uptime, because if everything's getting expensive, we're going to have to create more utilization of assets and more uptime to get through this inflation stuff.
Got it. Now, a final question here. I know there's a lot of concern in the industry about trying to recruit and retain workers in the industry, and it sounds like you guys are pretty focused on finding people who fit your culture well. So what has worked for you to find people who fit your culture, since obviously not everybody's going to be the right fit?
Yeah, I think the first thing is that there's got to be a purpose bigger than going out. And I say this, and I don't want it to sound bad, but there's got to be a bigger purpose than going out and just making money and doing things like that. There's a bigger purpose and a bigger calling. And I think that's kingdom calling. I think that's doing kingdom work. And that's really what our business is focused on, is we're here to bless others and bless people. And I think that with those values and those things are aligned, then a lot of great things happen. You know, we really haven't had a problem recruiting or retaining people through this thing. And I think that's all a testament to the culture of the business. Like I said, I think that's what I'm most proud of. We've had a lot of people that just talked to me and wanted to join the business because of what they hear. And to me, that is honestly the biggest compliment I've ever received, is when I hear people wanting to come join the business because they've heard of what we're doing. And yeah, it's just something I'm really proud of. And I think that is what makes the difference, and focusing on the people and on the values of what we need to do and how we need to treat others is really what's the difference. And people need to be paid fairly, and it needs to not be an issue, right? That's extremely important, but it's got to be about something more than that. That purpose is what I think a lot of us are missing. And when it's there and we see that we're out to further his kingdom and be stewards of his resources, then unbelievable things happen. So yeah, I think that when that all those things align, and like I said, we hire character first and train the skill. And we've got a lot of people here that have never been in the scrap metal business before, but we know their core, we know their values, and they fit within the culture. And with that, we can train everybody else what we need to do.
Well, thanks so much for coming on the show today, Blake. It's been great having you.
Yeah, thanks so much. Have a wonderful day. Appreciate it.